Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside. There's a World Series game tonight, Kelly Bidlin, game number 3. And you've been watching along, and if you're a Dodgers fan, it's just got to feel good. It's just got to feel good. I don't really root for a baseball team. I don't really have a team. Yeah. And so I just kind of try to judge what it must feel like for some fan bases.
Yeah, it's got to feel pretty good.
Back and I'm like, I live vicariously through you and your enjoyment and or your heartache if you're the other side of things. And I'm like, yeah, it must feel pretty good.
It feels pretty good until you see Shohei Ohtani grabbing at his shoulder. But then you read, news the next day and, oh, never mind, he's going
to
be fine.
He is going to play. At least that is the word that he is going to play tonight. It is Walker Buehler on the hill for the Dodgers, going to be as Clark Schmidt for the Yankees. This is -155 Yankees at home, +130 Dodgers on the road as dogs. 8.5 is our total, which is heavily, heavily juiced towards the over in this one. Kelly, it is a Walker Buehler is a dude that has been up and down, all the talent in the world, and certainly can go out and give you a good start. Also can go out and get absolutely shelled. The number doesn't surprise me here in this one, considering the Yankees are coming back home and it is Walker Buehler who is known to get lit up from time to time. I'm just probably never laying a 155 price against this Dodgers team, like under any circumstances, especially since Ohtani is going to play. Now you maybe could talk me into, hey man, That is the heart and soul of that team. You look at Ohtani, if he's not out there, maybe the Dodgers don't give it, you know, their full go. Maybe they're a little bit distracted, but the fact that he's going to be out there, I just don't know how I'm ever laying a price like a 155 against him.
I'm right there with you. I think the one thing that's maybe a little intriguing to me tonight is this over, which is taking money right now on the 8.5.
People are loving the over.
Like you said, Buehler up and down. I think that the bats are, I mean, look, I think if the Yankees are going to win one of these games, it's probably going to be coming from the offense here in one of these non-Garrett Cole starts. So kind of expecting to see more life from their bats tonight. And, especially if Walker Buehler has a rocky start. And then the Dodgers, I mean, it's everybody in the lineup right now feels like they're hitting or providing in a big way, especially at the top. So I'm kind of with you. I think I wouldn't expect the Dodgers bats to slow down much. And I would be leaning towards the over here tonight.
Me too. Over, maybe a first five Yankee. Like I said, like if you're kind of just going to bank on one of these Walker Buehler starts where he gets hit around a little bit. And I think there's a little bit of a correlation between the over and maybe even looking at the Yankees too, because I think if a lot of runs are going to be coming, it would probably be coming off of Walker Buehler. So a couple different ways to look at it that way, but I'll figure something out maybe before the time this thing rolls around. But I kind of want to get a little bit clearer. All they're just kind of saying is like, yeah, we're optimistic. Shohei's gonna be out there. Yeah. It's gonna be fine. It's like, I kind of like a little bit more of you to tell me exactly how a partial dislocation, and he's just gonna be out there.
I'd be like swinging a bat with a dislocated shoulder.
Not a doctor, never gone to 1 second of medical school, but I do wonder about, like, you know, the guy looked in a lot of pain walking off the field, and then all of a sudden, like, yeah, it's fine. He's gonna go. No big deal.
It was the World Series. What was the game we were doing on primetime back? Was it Bellinger dislocated, right? And I bet like under
first pitch.
Yeah, first pitch was a home run. I bet under his RBI. So I'm gonna say be careful with taking that route tonight. Listen to Matt Brown. Maybe wait till you figure out exactly what Shohei is looking like this evening.
I sit there and I just go, this guy's partially dislocated. And there's like, yeah, you know, he's fine. 2 days later. I don't know. I just don't know. Maybe arms just work differently now.
I'm also still like weirded out by the injury itself, though, because he just like looked like it was a fine, normal slide. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, why isn't Shohei getting up? Like, what's going on? Like, why is this taking so long? And yeah, I was not expecting that to be the result.
So we do have, you know, varying lines out there. Everything from as low as -141 in the market to as high as -155. So As always, be sure and shop around for these lines. And if you're looking for some really good lines, actually Sport Trade will give you minus 104 instead of minus 110 out there. Everybody who's making those bigger bets, you know how important that is. And they will take those big bets from you if you're looking to get down tens of thousands of dollars. They're actually live in Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and even Virginia now. So you go download that Sport Trade app. Use code VSiN, you're going to get 10% cash back on each wager you make in your first week. Now, terms do apply to this, and you got to be 21 years or older. If you do have a gambling problem, please, 1-800-GAMBLER, Sport Trade app, promo code VSiN. All right, Kelly, the NBA rocking and rolling. Have you been able to take, I mean, I know this is like that weird time of year where it's like,
It's the equinox.
All four sports today, people, for those of you who celebrate.
That's right. Yeah, yes. For those of you let us know if you do celebrate. Please tweet us in. Like, do you actually try to bet or watch the entirety of one of every four, game out of every four sports?
What you really need to do is put together the equinox parlay, one bet in each sport.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could do that. I'd be more impressed watching one game from every sport.
We could do that. The only problem would be is our hockey bet would be just a complete shot in the dark.
We'll call up Jay Conn or something.
Yeah. Our hockey bet would just be a complete shot in the dark. We'd have no idea how that was going to go. But so have you been able to take in enough NBA there? Are you starting to kind of get a feel for these teams a little bit?
Yeah. As you know, I think this is always start of the season if you're betting NBA as much mm-hmm. as I do. I'm a believer in you come out swinging. If you think mm-hmm. you see an edge from what you've kind of got teams rated at preseason, you go and make some bets. The good thing that's what's nice about betting the NBA and any of these sports that have long seasons, Matt, if it doesn't work, you can always take a week yes. or two off, readjust, get a chance to look at some teams yes. more.
This
around
is an every
Christmas.
Night sport. This isn't a once a week sport.
Absolutely. Yeah, so exactly. So, not coming out overly aggressive, but it's been pretty good so mm-hmm. far. It was a nice opening night, nice opening Wednesday, Thursday, and then kind of been batting around 500 since then. So yeah, I've got one play loaded up so far for tonight, although this number has moved. So sorry, this is what happens in the NBA with injuries and stuff like that. I laid 5.5 with the Magic. They were hosting the Pacers last night. Not as crucial. I had kind of had this side circled already, mm-hmm. But Indiana then gets into an overtime game yesterday with Philadelphia. That would matter to me way more if it was later in the season. Yeah. I think at the beginning of the season, it doesn't quite matter as much with these teams worried about some of these stars being tired and some of these players being tired. I'm not overly concerned about that, but knew this number was going to end up running this way towards the Magic. So late 5.5 with them at 7, I'd probably stay away. The Pacers are feisty enough. And this Magic team, the defense is so good. The offense still coming around. There's a chance this could be a lower scoring game, and they could be keeping the keeping Indiana around to see the point spread get through for them. A couple other games I did have circled. I'm going to be watching here. Cavs Knicks in action tonight. Now the Cavs. This is where you talk about what have they done so far, yeah. right? They've looked great so far. One of the teams is 3-0, looking really good. Everybody's talking about them. But who have they played, right? We talk about this a lot at the beginning of the football right. season, stuff like that, right? Wizards, Pistons, Raptors. Let's not go crazy yes. here over the Cavaliers. And while I wasn't as high as a lot of people on this Knicks yeah. team's heading into this season, when you're talking about a point spread being about 2.5 right now, that feels like we've moved about a point and a half towards the Cavs just from where this would have been about a week ago if we were making lines for this game. I think there's a little bit of value on the Knicks here. I'm going to wait and just kind of see where this line moves throughout the day. It opened up 3.5 in favor of New York and has taken Cavs money since then. It's about 2.5 across the board right now. So I'm going to wait and see. I think at 2.5, though, I'll probably get involved small, Matt. But I don't think any reason to rush. If Cavs are getting bet now, they probably will get bet later. This line might come down a bit more.
People that are looking down the odds board today? And they look down and they see the Bucks are playing the Celtics and it's a 9.5 point spread heading to 10.
Yeah, that was the game I was getting to next. Yeah. This is a Bucks team, another one. They were in action yesterday, lost to the Brooklyn Nets, which that immediately rose this line from about 8.5 to 10 is where you're yeah. seeing it now. Like you said, I'm interested in the over here, but this number, I'm waiting for this number to come down a bit. And it's at 232. Both these teams, I think Celtics, do have some questions, at least as far as rim protection goes right now. We know what Milwaukee's always going to try to do with Giannis attacking the rack. Now, this Boston team has looked amazing so far. They keep everything rolling over from a year ago. Not a whole lot has changed except for Kristaps Porzingis being in and out of the lineup, but they dealt with that a year ago as well. Offensively, they are humming. The Bucks offense has looked great so far as well. Damian Lillard looking a little bit more settled. Lean to the over and lean, yes, to the Bucks that are catching double-digit points in this game. So over might make my card, waiting to see where this total settles in at, but it would definitely be a strong lean to Milwaukee as well.
Is there any point in playing out the season? It's just going to be the Lakers anyway, right? Lakers are just going to win it all. You know, I don't know if you know or not, they're 3-0. Have you heard?
Oh, really?
Have you heard?
And because of that, I mean, they're going to win it all.
Have you heard?
Is Bronny James going to win Rookie of the Year for him too?
I know. Seriously, it's just like, I mean, we get it. The Lakers are 3-0. You have to talk about it. I get it. LeBron's the biggest. The biggest star in all the NBA's, one of the biggest stars in all sports in general and period. But it's just like, Lakers are 3-0. It's like everything. Lakers are 3-0. Like, there were three games in the season.
This is also the tough part about the gambling and sports worlds, right? Where, like, I think in the gambling world, the Lakers are actually a little underrated this season. Like, I think the team's pretty good. But, of course, as soon as they do, they accomplish anything, the rest of the sports world wants to freak out and crown them champions.
We have to do that. It's LeBron James, Kelly. LeBron James.
He is still very good.
It's unbelievable.
It's very good.
There will be tales told of him for hundreds of years after this, the way that what he's been able to do at such an advanced age. When we come back, a couple more things to hit from this past Sunday, and then we are going to get in earnest into these games for next week.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside as always. And some of these games, of course, we have Monday Night Football that is still to come. It is 6 in favor of the Steelers. 36.5 is the total against this giant squad that I think might be a little live to be a dog here. Kelly, I'm with you on the, if a 6.5 were to pop, you get on the other side of that 6 that is becoming a little bit more key than it was in the past with all the 2-point stuff and all the, I think that's at least an interesting look, but I did put this one instantly into the account. And on Thursday, week number 9, now we're getting into the Texans and the Jets.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
If you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have been like, I can't wait for this game. This is going to be a monster.
Up to this game. And instead, it's a Texans team that is going to be without Nico Collins. They lose Steph Diggs yesterday as well. So now it is Tank Dell is your only guy basically at the wide receiver position for this Texans team that we thought was going to be just a high-flying offense because of all of everything that they had. And then you've got whatever it is that this Jets team is, your guess is as good as mine. I had a pretty good idea of which way this was going to go. It opened at 43.5. I got in an under ticket. I think that maybe you could hang out because we tend to see these island games get ticked back up if you wanted to come in on the under 43. But I don't know exactly how this Texans team is going to look with only one guy out there at the wide receiver position. I think they rely very heavily on Mixon, which, as we know, if you run, can slow the game down. Jets already play very slow because Aaron Rodgers plays very slow, and they can't score the ball either. And so I see a low 40s here. I was thinking like high 30s would be more along something given the injury situation that we have in this one. So I went ahead. By the way, if you're wondering about the spread, it's 1.5 in favor of the Texans. So the Texans, despite the injury situation and being on the road, are still favored over this Jets team.
Yeah, I had them circled to kind of looking ahead to look at betting the Texans this week. You're right, though. One of the parts of being so high on this Texans team was this receiving core and how many weapons they had. And now you're not even going to sit here and say Diggs has had that great of a year. Obviously, Nico Collins was awesome when he was in there. But just being down both those guys, it's even been a little weird how Stroud's kind of operated with the receivers this year, where it was so obvious yesterday, even when Diggs went out of that game, it was like, all right, Tank Dell, like, your turn to finally start catching balls. Like, you haven't battered all year for some reason, but now it's your turn. So I don't know if it's him, but he kind of locks in on these guys a little bit or what, but I guess I'd still be leaning to that side. You and I were talking a little bit during the break, but man, this Jets team, it is a disaster. There is not many positives to take away. I don't really know. I can sit here saying it's going to get all that much better, especially on a short week here heading into Thursday night. I think that stuff does matter when you're talking about these teams, you know, having to work in new pieces and new players. So, yeah, I like your undercall. I actually didn't even really look at that on the openers yesterday because I was running to see what the Texans were going to get reposted as. I would be lean Texans and lean under for me, though.
If you want to have a silver lining for the Jets, it would be that you're catching this team at home with another major loss on the offensive side. So if there was ever a time to kind of get at them, it would be here in this game. But I just can't quite get there with it. I mean, if I had to bet a side, I don't know, maybe I would be looking towards the Jets a little bit. I think it's fair to say that CJ Stroud has taken at least a little bit of a step backwards. And that's not saying that he has been bad. He's not been bad, but he just had such an outlier of a season last year and was so incredibly good, like literally top three, top four quarterback in the NFL type good, that replicating that was going to be hard anyway. But he's taken at least a little bit of a step backwards. And that's, again, not saying he's bad. I'm not saying that CJ Stroud isn't good. I'm saying he's not what we saw last year. And I don't know if the addition of Diggs messed things up a little bit. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe there was too much. Maybe we hear we know the reasons why Buffalo shipped him out of town was because he was difficult to deal with on the sideline and in the locker rooms. And so I don't know if that's part of it or not, but I don't think this Texans team has lived up to expectations. I don't know if there was a team in the offseason, maybe the Packers that was getting as much helium as the Texans were.
I think there's some others, but they're doing well. I think Lions, right, would be up there, but they're achieving, right? They're getting there. I'm with you on the Texans, man. This is a team that I thought they were going to be one of the best teams in the AFC. Mm-hmm. You're right, maybe a little unfair to hold the standards that we held Stroud to heading into this season, but I'm not losing hope because all those weapons are coming back at some point, and I think it give him a little bit more time to rebound through this season. He could look pretty good by the end of it.
Cowboys and the Falcons. This is sitting 2.5. There is, it's 2.5. It's juiced towards the Falcons. So this could be hitting 3 anytime now. 51.5 to 52 is the total. You see the Cowboys again last night. I mean, there is no one in the history of the NFL that is better in garbage time than Dak Prescott.
Oh, it's incredible.
The most hollow stats that you will ever see, but the stats just pile up because the middle of the fourth quarter hits and then it's like, well, time to go score some points. It won't matter. Yeah. That's basically what happens with him. And then we see a Falcons team has been so up and down. One of the most weird, curious teams to me on any given week. I look at him and I say, Kelly, Kirk Cousins, it seems like he's a little more confident now. He's over this injury thing. He wasn't stepping into throws for the first couple of games. Yep. And then you see him kind of like look completely average yet again. I get the high total. The defense for the Cowboys almost non-existent at this point without their stars out there. This Falcons defense has looked pretty poor as well. It's under a field goal with the Falcons. It's an interesting look because I don't think the Cowboys are very good.
It's just to go back real quick to the Cowboys. The other thing that is so amazing with them, like I'm actually blown away by this. The garbage time scoring, but then just CeeDee Lamb. It's maybe been different in years past where they've had more weapons, but still, like the chemistry or whatever that goes on there between Dak and CeeDee, the fact that they can force feed him as much as they do and it actually works, it blows my mind when the defense knows that's basically all they got. This was a game I thought I was going to be involved in the total. I thought the over would take money. I didn't think the over was going to take money this quick. We are all the way out to 52 in most locations on this game. Opened up like 48, I think it was 48 and a half, 49s out there yesterday afternoon. I was waiting on that for some reason. I don't know why. I do like the over here. I probably not a play for me at 52, but that's still where I would look.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Falcons offense seems like they've started to figure a little bit out. I mean, it seems as if Kirk Cousins is okay spreading the ball around a little bit more. It seems as if they figured out how to try to utilize both Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. So like, I think that was another thing that was a little bit weird for them at the beginning of the season. It was like, oh, do we go just all Bijan or do we, Allgeier was good last year. Yeah. What do we do with this? And like, I think they figured out that balance a little bit better. The defense has still been very, very underwhelming, which is why this total is where it is, you know? And so I'm with you. This would have been certainly a play if this was in the 40s. In the 50s, you're just
it's getting up
still
there.
A lot of points.
It's getting up there. The Yeah, it's one. I'll have to see where that moves this week. I think that's the only thing I could look at. I hear you under a field goal. I guess I'd be looking at Atlanta if we're talking sides, but they're not a team that I feel all that comfortable about.
And I do not at all, which is why it's not in the account. Yeah. It's just I try to fade these one-dimensional teams, if at all possible, right? And like the Cowboys have no run game at all.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you guys saw Dalvin Cook run the ball yesterday, that's the most running guy in the NFL, man. It looks like your dad when you were a kid out in the driveway and he's like, I'll show you, I'm still fast. And you're like, Dad, you couldn't run out of sight in 20 minutes. I feel like there's a zero chance. Like, Dalvin Cook's a dad runner now. And you're just sitting there like, dude, so this is the best options? Are you seriously telling me that Zeke and Dalvin Cook are your best options? Now, Rico Dowdle showed up to the facility and he was sick. That's the reason he didn't play. But it was horrible. But they weren't running the ball well anyway, right?
I think it is something you are seeing more clearly, though, in this year's NFL than we've seen the past couple years, where we've heard for years now downplaying the importance of running backs. But you've seen some of these running backs. Yeah. How big of a difference has Derrick Henry made in Baltimore? How big of a difference has Joe Mixon made in Houston when he's been on the field? That is a different team when he's able to play with Stroud out there. Like, part of the reason they've been as successful, at least in the wins and losses, as they've been.
And on the flip, no run game to speak of for Cincinnati at all whatsoever. Correct. You know, and it's like, so it's these teams that are kind of one dimensional for me that I look to fade if at all possible. Like I said, I think the Falcons have kind of figured out the balance now. I think they're starting to kind of get a little bit of a rhythm. It'd be the only look. It's not in the account. I don't think that I could back the Cowboys, though, with what I've seen from this team so far. And you take a loss like yesterday, and now you just be, what are you as a team? What are you even thinking about as a team, really? Because I mean, that was a shell of a 49ers team that still beat you.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. This is, if you're playing the who do you believe in more from a mental standpoint right now, it's definitely Atlanta. I mean, they're feeling good. They've been winning games. Like you said, Cousins looks like a different guy than he looked like week one. So yeah, if you want to play that game, it's definitely Atlanta.
You know what today is?
What's today?
The Sports Equinox, baby.
How did I forget?
All four major sports, I should say, are all playing on the same day. We're going to celebrate it by giving you a great deal. VSiN.com/subscribe. Everything we do from now to May the 1st for under $20 a month, Kelly Bidlin.
That's cheap.
That is everything. We're talking about the picks, the best bet, the live feed. You're going to get the guides, everything that we do for under $20 a month at VSiN.com/subscribe in honor of this Sports Equinox. When we come back, Adam Burke.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me as always. And now joining us here, you know him. You've seen him stuff over at VSiN.com. You've seen his pretty face on all the shows here on the network. He is one Adam Burke. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I don't know about the pretty face thing, but I appreciate I appreciate hyping me up here.
Hey, you are that's a pretty face, Kelly.
It sure is. I was also just thinking about of guys at the network that could have a bet in all four sports today. Adam Burke could be one of those guys.
Hey, Adam, I don't know if you've heard or not. Today's the Sports Equinox. Just like I don't know if you heard yesterday was National Tight End Day or not. I don't know if that was made clear
enough.
But you know, Sports Equinox Day today.
Yeah, Sports Equinox. We got a great deal over at VSiN.com where you can become a VSiN Pro subscriber through May 1st for $120. It's less than $20 a month. And, you know, we just released our college basketball betting guide, so you can get your hands on that. Not to mention, we'll be doing a college football playoff betting guide. We'll have an MLB one when that season gets going. March Madness, of course, as well. And you're covered for all that with this Sports Equinox special. So it's a really good opportunity to see what we're all about over at VSiN.com. And goes along with our other exciting announcement about the VSiN Watch app today. So plenty of good things going on here over at the network.
Equinox.
Oh, yes, it is the Equinox. I know. I'm going to put in an Equinox parlay just to say that I had one, but the hockey bet is just going to be.
I'll make some texts.
If the Devils are playing it, I'll just bet the team that I have a futures on. I'll just do that. That'll be fun.
There you go.
All right, Adam. We're going to get to college basketball here in a second, which, by the way, great college basketball betting guide over at VSiN, which is maybe one of the more important things that we put out for you guys out there because it's so incredibly hard to try and figure out all that stuff. But let's start with the World Series. You're our baseball guy. We get Walker Buehler on the hill. What do we expect from him? I mean, we know what the guy's talent level is. We know what the ceiling is with Walker Buehler. Unfortunately, we have kind of seen the floor too many times with him here of late as well. Going up against Clark Schmidt, going on the road over there in New York, do you expect the Yankees to bounce back?
Well, the market certainly does. I mean, with where this line is sitting and the fact that, you know, there's really not a whole lot of market confidence in Walker Buehler, and frankly, understandably so. I mean, you know, as you mentioned, it's been kind of a throwaway really last, you know, 18, 24 months for him. And he was not good during the regular season, wasn't good in the second inning of his first playoff start, did pitch better in his second playoff outing against the Mets. And of course, that's what the Dodgers are going to be hoping for out of him today. But guys, I like under 14 and a half outs. This one is a little bit juicy. I see it's out to minus 140 now. I was minus 120 when I wrote up my preview over at VSiN.com yesterday. There is no way in hell that Dave Roberts is going to let this guy face Juan Soto and Aaron Judge a third time through the order. So unless he's very efficient, unless he's mowing down Yankee hitters early on in this one, I don't see him, you know, going through five innings here in this game. So, you know, a guy that has pitched to a lot of contact here in the postseason, which is always concerning when you're talking about the level of hitter that you're going up against. And of course, there's a small ballpark. I mean, it's going to be a cool night in the Bronx, but it's a small ballpark. So, you know, it can be a really difficult thing for pitchers. I think it'd be tough for both pitchers tonight. But I like Buehler under 14 and a half outs as one of three plays that I like here heading into game three.
Can I ask you about just the series at large, and then we'll get back to your other two plays as we sit at 330 plus 330 on the Yankees to come back and win the whole thing. I mean, what would you give the actual chances here? It seems like the Dodgers just like the team of destiny almost.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably put the Dodgers a little bit higher, maybe in the 500 range, something like that. Look, I mean, it's really hard for this offense to lose four out of five games, and especially given the fact that you are going to get another Jack Flaherty start at some point in this series where he looked really, really good in game one and eased a lot of concerns I think people had. And Yoshinobu Yamamoto was terrific too. So, you know, even though things are a little bit dicey with Walker Buehler, with the fact that they'll have to go with a bullpen game in game four, you're still in a situation where you've got Flaherty and Yamamoto to make two of the remaining starts in this series. And, you know, for the Yankees, I mean, you know, it's been Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, Aaron Judge really hasn't been that big of a factor, and he needs to be, and he needs to figure it out here in his home ballpark to get his team back into the series. So, the one thing I do think is kind of worth looking at here, guys, I realize it's a super short price at this point in time with Freddie Freeman to win the World Series MVP. It's even money over at DraftKings, but it's a situation where the Dodgers are over a $4 favorite to win this thing. Mm-hmm. Freeman has the most iconic playoff home run that we've seen in a very, very long time. And also, we talk about this all the time when we handicap the awards markets. He's got a story that writers want to tell, that writers want to talk about with what he went through with his son Max and what the family went through here throughout the course of this season, not to mention on the field, had that bum ankle in the championship series. I think Freddie Freeman at even money to win the World Series MVP is a cheap number. I think he should be a minus price, maybe a significant minus price at that. Because again, it's just really hard for me to see a scenario in which the Dodgers lose four out of five games here the rest of the way.
I do have a Teoscar ticket, Matt. I got to admit, I was typing up those odds this morning, Adam. I was a little surprised to see Freeman at even money, too. I thought he was going to be on the other side. I might be buying a little bit of that, too.
Yeah, everyone wants a lottery ticket when it comes to these things. Like, sometimes just take the obvious money, too.
You know, I mean, especially if we think the Dodgers are going to keep winning games, this gets shorter and shorter, right? It's a better chance that he's going to end up coming out on top. So, I mean, Adam, not to mention,
look, it's a very favorable ballpark that he's going to now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's already hit a couple of home runs in the series, and now he's going to a place where you hit a pop-up to right field and it's gone. So, you know, the chances of him continuing to have a really good series also increase given the venue.
Talking to Adam Burke, you can find his great work over at VSiN.com. He's our managing editor at Skating Tripods over on the Twitter machine as well. I'm still not giving in and doing the X. I know y'all put it on the graphic. I'm not doing it. It's Twitter machine still. Yeah, it's always good. It always will be. Are you called X? Do you call it X?
I try to do the, you know, on Twitter or X if you want to call it.
Adam seems like the stickler for X. You always call it X, right?
I call it the Bird app. So.
Okay. All right.
The one who's not giving up his position is Zach Cohen. He bought in on that at betting on X as soon as it popped up. And he's going with X.
Everything is, you know what? I never even thought. Yeah. That's why he's betting on it. because I don't think of it as X. So I think of it as there we go. All right, see, that makes a lot more sense now. All right, you said you had a couple more bets tonight.
Yeah, well, the other one I like, I mean, outside of Freeman, you know, at even money to win MVP, and then Bueller under 14 and a half outs. Dodgers first five team total over 1.5 is now -145 at DraftKings. It was -140 when I wrote this up yesterday. As always, shop around, find the best line that you can. But look, I mean, I like Clark Schmidt a lot, but he's a sinker slider cutter guy. So everything's, you know, kind of going to be hittable to a left-handed bat. And so, you know, with that short porch in right field, with what the Dodgers have done so far in this postseason and really all year long, and the fact that Clark Schmidt just, he's not really missing bats at the same rate that he did in the regular season. A guy who started out really, really well, missed more than 3 months, came back, looked okay in September. He's looked okay in the postseason too. But he's not missing a whole lot of bats here, guys. So the Dodgers, who are hitting everything in sight right now, it feels like, you know, I think they're going to have some offensive success here, especially with what they've been able to do with the long ball. So I think the first five team total over 4.5 for the Dodgers gives them a good start, I guess, in theory. If I like that, you could argue that maybe I should take the Dodgers at plus money. But truth be told, guys, as I just mentioned, I don't like Walker Buehler's chances to go five innings in this start. And frankly, he could get blown up, and it wouldn't shock me at all.
College basketball betting guide out over at VSiN.com right now. Adam, I know it is a very difficult task to put together. I imagine this one is the most difficult one we do. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. There's no question about it. I mean, with the transfer portal, it's very, very hard to pin down who went where. And then not only that, to try to project what, you know, a hodgepodge group of five transfers is all of a sudden going to do for a team, whether they have a new head coach or not. He's basically working with a new roster.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like the Kentucky of the last like 5 years where they got five stars, but you don't even know if they're going to mesh or how they're going to play together. And now it's five guys coming from five different schools, five different programs, five different strategies. Yeah, it's crazy. So let's talk about getting a ticket in the account before we get to the conferences that you previewed. Everybody wants a ticket for the eventual winner. What team do you like to cut down the nets?
Yeah, so, you know, are they going to win it all? I don't know, but I think I can get into a pretty good situation with the Memphis Tigers. So they're 120-1 at DraftKings. I think they were a little bit higher than that at a couple of shops here in town in Las Vegas, if you have the ability to go to those. The AAC is down this year. The American Athletic Conference, I don't think, is nearly as strong as it was last season. And so you've got a Memphis team here that Bart Torvik, in his projections, and I know people love KenPom. I'm a Bart Torvik guy. I will stand for that website as much as I possibly can. He has this team favored in every AAC game except for one. And then they're a one possession dog against UConn in a big game around Thanksgiving. So Memphis is a team that was top five in terms of expected production from transfers, according to Torvik. And they're in a conference where they're going to win a ton of games. They can get themselves a pretty high seed line. And if I go into the tournament with a team that's, you know, maybe a two or a three seed, maybe four seed at the farthest, something like that, at 120-1, I think it's a really good investment. This is a team that I think looks extremely talented, a lot of very, very experienced transfers, a more physical team than what Penny Hardaway has had in the past. And they're a team that really hasn't cared about defensive rebounding before. They're going to this year. So I think Memphis is going to really, really stand out in this conference. And I think getting them at a triple-digit number when they should be a pretty high seed is a good investment to make here this far in advance of March.
I know it is not a proper amount of time to give you 45 seconds to talk the Big East, but UConn, Creighton, St. John's, Marquette, Xavier, et cetera, et cetera. What did you learn when you were doing that? Anything really stand out?
Yeah, I learned that, you know, even though I'm a small conference guy and I'm used to seeing a lot of transfers coming in and going out with those programs, the Big East is the exact same way. You know, I mean, yeah, you have some holdovers who do stick around, but the depth and some of the guys that replace lost production are coming from other programs. So it's going to be one of those things where there's a lot of really good head coaches in this conference, but we're going to have to wait and see how quickly these teams do end up gelling and coming together.
You got your quarterback. How do you feel about that performance yesterday by Jameis?
Hey, you know what? Deshaun Watson gave him the best chance to win all the way up until he got hurt. So I don't know what to think.
Facetious, guys. That's what Adam is. Adam Burke, you can find his work over at VSiN.com, at Skating Tripods, over on the Twitter machine. Let's talk that Browns team when we come back. They are hosting the Chargers, and I don't agree with who is favored when we come back on our numbers game.